Let's get in the proper mood to hear Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we mentioned this last night, and it's a good place to start. Krishna says in chapter 9, Samahang sarva bhuteshu name dvesyo stinapriya ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. If you would please repeat, Krishna says,
I envy no one,
nor am I partial to anyone.
I am equal to all.
But
whoever renders service to me
in devotion
is a friend,
is in me,
and I am a friend to that person.
So, Krishna is equal. He doesn't play favorites. But if you do some service to him, he reciprocates. He becomes your friend. So that's point number one. He's open to everybody. And if you do service, he'll become your friend. Now, the next verse is from chapter 5. Nadate kasyachit papang nachaiva sukritang vibhu agyanena vritang gyanam tena huhanti jantava. Please repeat.
Nor does the Supreme Lord
assume or accept responsibility
for anyone's sinful
or pious activities.
Embodied beings
are bewildered
because of ignorance
which covers their real knowledge.
So there's some implications here.
So when Krishna says the Supreme Lord, he's talking about himself in the third person. It's just like if Naresh here is saying to somebody, yes, Naresh, he's talking about you, but you're talking about yourself as if you're somebody separate, because the Supreme Lord is, and he's also speaking the verse, okay? Now here, the Supreme Lord means Krishna in the heart, the super soul. That's the context. So Krishna does not accept responsibility for anyone's sinful or pious activities, which means that's on us. We make choices because of free will. And after the choices are made, we get the reaction. Now, the setup of those reactions, who set up those reactions? Say it. Yes. We didn't set up the reactions. No. The whole setup was done by Krishna. But you get to choose. You get to choose mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And once you select, then you get. Any of these kids play video games? Right? So the video games are set up by the video maker, okay? But the person who's playing the video game has so many options, right? It's not the video guy who's making the person choose what to do, but once they make the selection, an automatic response is there. So the whole world set up by who? That you got to understand. He set up the whole matrix, the whole chessboard. Same way with the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna set up all the pieces and then let everybody participate. Of course, Srinamrada and I were discussing, there were some occasions where Krishna changed things along the way. And she was asking me why, but that's another discussion. But Krishna set up the whole chessboard, and we move accordingly. So Krishna says, I'm not responsible for your decisions. You chose to act like an idiot? That's on you. You didn't choose the right path. Krishna helps you. He's got Bhagavad Gita. He tells you, don't do this, don't do this. But we say, no, I still want to do it. Krishna says, okay, this is what's going to happen. Go ahead. So we have to assume responsibility for our actions. It's not that, oh, why is this happening to me? Why is Krishna being mean to me? No, Krishna is not being mean to you. You made mistakes. You have to live with the result. It's not Krishna's fault. It's like sometimes in a murder trial, I didn't shoot the man, the gun did. Does that make sense? No. The person with the gun, he's the one that's not the gun. Or sometimes in America they say, it's the manufacturer of the gun, it's his fault. Because he put the gun there. No. You shot the gun, you're responsible. So the same way in life. We make choices, even though there's destiny. Yes, there's destiny. But we still have chance to make decisions in between. And then what does Krishna say? Embodied beings. Who's an embodied being? Anybody here embodied being? All hands should be raised. Yeah, you're an embodied being. Because what's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? And who's inside the body? So that makes you embodied. Right? Okay, so embodied, see how cool Krishna is? Embodied being. He's telling you that's you, an embodied, or me, an embodied being. Why are we bewildered? Ignorance. And why are we ignorant? We don't study Bhagavad Gita. That's why we're ignorant. So who's going to start reading Bhagavad Gita now every night? Yes, don't. Just like your children, you send your children to school, right? You expect them to learn their schoolwork, right? That's what you want, right? So in the same way, Krishna expects us to do our homework. So this is what kids can tell their parents. Make kids tell your parents, did you do your Bhagavad Gita homework? Yeah, you can get back at your parents. It's authorized by me. Because they're always getting on your case, right? Yeah. So now you can say, oh, you want me to do my homework? Did you do your homework? How many rounds did you chant? How many chapters of Bhagavad Gita did you read? You like that, Herman? Huh? Now Herman thinks, I like Guruji. He's good. See, he's smiling, huh? This is a good rock and roll Guruji, huh? So don't remain in ignorance. Let's go on. Seventh chapter. Icha dvesha smutena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammohang sargayanti parantapa. Please repeat. O scion of Bharata,
O conqueror of the foe.
So who is Krishna talking to?
Arjuna.
Very good. All living entities are born into delusion.
Bewildered by
the dualities arisen from desire and hate. So that's the root of all our problems, desire and hatred. You give up desire and hatred, you're no longer bewildered. You'll be free. You'll be peaceful. So give up lusty desires, like I mentioned before. If Ravana had only given up Sita, the kingdom of Lanka would have been spared. Ram would not have destroyed. But he was driven by desire. Who did Ravana hate? Ram. What did Ravana desire? Sita. He was bewildered. He was bewildered by desire and hate. It's okay. So, this verse is going to come into play a little later. Because once you enter this material world, this is what happens. Desire, dualities, and hate. Now we come to nice verse. Iti te gyanam akyatam guyat guyatarang maya vermishyaitad asheshena yateshasi tapa kuru. You should all know that line. We sang it last night. Everyone repeat. Yateshasi tapa kuru. What is the meaning of that line? What do you mean you don't know? We've done it for so many years. Everyone should know that line. Yes, very good. It's up to you what? What you want to do. You come to the head of the class. Very good. Come on, we sang that song. It's up to you. What you want to do. And then we would do the Sanskrit. Yatechasi tatakuru. Come on, you guys. Jeev Jago. No, not clap. Jeev Jago means wake up. Woo! Now, this verse appears just before your verse. Krishna is practically spinached speaking, because he says, please repeat, thus I have explained to you, knowledge still more confidential. Because in Bhagavad Gita, there are three levels of knowledge. Confidential, more confidential, most confidential, and then he says, still more. Krishna goes, he blows your mind. He goes further and further. Confidential knowledge is what we learn in chapter 2. What's confidential knowledge? You're not the body. That's confidential knowledge. Because you don't hear that on the TV. Do you? On the TV, you hear just the opposite. Buy this lipstick. Buy these clothes. Get this hair gel. Because you're that body. Yes, they hammer that all the time. Do this, buy this, because you're the body. Get liposuction. Get injections. Sometimes, have you seen pictures of people that do all those, I forget what they call it, Botox. They start looking like Michael Jackson. Ooh, God. Looks like a goblin, a dancing goblin. He danced good, but he looked got his skin bleached and it's like a ghost, some Yamaduta. So Krishna says, I've explained things even more more confidential knowledge, super soul. First soul. Super soul. Who is super soul? Who is he? Krishna. Ah, is it this Krishna? Or some other Krishna? Sure. You're positive. You don't want to change your mind. Okay, you win. It's this Krishna is in your heart. But he looks different, right? What does he look like in the heart? Four-armed. Naresh. Very good. Four-armed. Has a helmet. Is the club. Discus. Lotus flower. And conch. Here, Krishna just has flute. So, that's more confidential. Then most confidential is what we studied in your chapter. What we studied in your chapter. What did we study in your chapter? What was the title? Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga. That's most confidential. Then still more confidential is coming up. Your verse. Then he says, deliberate. Now, when that word deliberate is used, it means think it over. Don't act rashly. Don't just do something. Think about it. Just like some of you make lots of money. I know. So don't you think about where to put your money, what to invest in? You don't just throw your money away, right? You consider, should I buy this property? Should I invest in this? Should I put my money in India? Should I, because money, sweeter than honey. Okay? So you know and because you work hard for that money, it doesn't come easy, does it? It doesn't grow on trees. Let me pick some dollars. No. You have to work very, very hard for every dollar. You Indians know the value, right? You work hard for that, so you appreciate it. So you're not just going to throw it away. It's called deliberation. You think about it. This guy wants me to do some business. Let me call my friend. Senor Ram, what do you think? Senor Ram, what do you think? And what will Ram say? Give it to me. Invest in me. Am I right? You tell me. What do you think? Yeah. Thank you. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, I've told you so many things now in this Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He said so many things. Krishna is telling him, deliberate. Be cool. Be cool, man. Think about it. Consider it from different angles of vision. Okay? Just like, I'll give you a practical example. When my wife proposed to me, I waited 2 weeks to respond. I just didn't react. I said, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. She told me, she was thinking, what does this guy think I am? What? She was thinking, does this guy know what he's blowing? I'm the best deal he's ever going to get, which is true. But I decided, let me think about it. So after 2 weeks of intense chanting, let's get it on. So we did it. So when there is important things to do, you deliberate, you think about it. Then do what you wish to do. That is called free will. And that is the name of the game of life. Things are going to happen because of your... But how you deal with that thing, that's your choice. I'll give you an example. If I come at you like this, there's different things you can do. No matter what happens in your life, there's not one answer always. If you can, try your best to not so much react, but do things with deliberation. Consider from different angles of vision. We call it the pros and the cons. Okay? Now comes a very important series of verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, because we got to get to the origin of where everything starts. Okay? Before we get to your verse, this is all set up. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit, he's hearing from who? Shukadeva Goswami. So in Bhagavad Gita, who asks the questions in Bhagavad Gita? Who answers? So in Bhagavatam, Parikshit asks the questions, Shukadeva answers. So here's, now listen very carefully, because this is one of the most important verses in Bhagavatam. O learned Brahman, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Is that true?
Yes.
Where do we know that to be true? What chapter? Second, not two, chapter two, which she said. So Parikshit knows Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Transcendental spirit soul, meaning not material, okay, is different from the material body. That's the first lesson. But his question now, listen, does she, the soul, because the soul is feminine, the soul is feminine because it's energy. Whose energy? Krishna. The soul is external. Okay. So the soul is energy. Whose energy? Whose energy are we?
Krishna.
You got to understand that. We are Krishna's energy. Since we're energy, we're female. All of us. Regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, the soul is female. Okay? According to the Vedas, because it's energy. Energetic is male. Who's the only energetic?
Krishna.
Everything else is energy. Sun, sunlight. Sunlight is energy. The sun is the source. We emanate from Krishna. So, does she acquire the material body by accident? Or some cause. In other words, if I'm transcendental, how the hell did I get this material body in the first place? This is an important question. If I'm transcendental, why do I have a material body? This is a very important question. And Parikshit says, Gurudev, you can answer this. Yes, a guru should be able to answer your questions. What does Shukadeva Goswami say? Very interesting statement. So the question was what? What was the question?
How did the spirit soul get into
He's got it.
How did the spirit soul get into the material body?
Exactly. How did the spirit soul, who is transcendental, acquire a material body in the first place? Exit. Well, he's just asking how. How and why actually are the same. What does Shukadeva say? O king, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, another energy, what energy do you think? What energy is going to influence? Yes. Yes, the external. Unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreaming person seeing one's own body working. Have you ever had a dream and you're in the dream? And you see yourself in the dream, right? That's what Shukadeva is saying. That's exactly what's going on. So unless we're influenced, in other words, and you said it, we have become influenced by the material energy, which obviously must be more powerful, that we have become covered over. We're in a dreaming state. He says it's just like a dream. He goes on. The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy, which we know as Maya. So, the illusion living entity appears in so many forms. How many forms? 8,400,000. Right now we're in this human form. But we've had so many other forms in the past. So many more forms coming down the road, unless we surrender to Krishna. Yes. So we got lots of lives ahead, unless you do Bhakti Yoga, chapter 12. So the illusion living entity appears in so many forms, offered by the external energy. And while enjoying the modes of material nature, what are the three modes? Ignorance, goodness, passion. The encaged living entity, yes, we're embodied. It's like a bird in a cage, right? This body is like a cage for the spirit soul. The encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. Because all of us think, to some degree, this is me. And this is mine, not yours. This is mine. One more statement. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in her constitutional glory and begins to enjoy transcendence beyond time and material energy, she at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as pure self. This is what is called self-realization. Self-realization means you no longer identify with this dream body, but you again identify, I'm spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, and this material existence is a dream. This is not me. Now the question regarding this, why did it happen? That's the next question. We know how it happened. We know how it happened. The spirit soul became influenced by the material energy. You remember that? We're in transcendence, but we became influenced by the material energy. Now we have a material existence. We became influenced. It's just like, I'll give you a practical example. Right now, we're in this nice situation. But if we all go to the bar and start drinking, what's going to happen? Yes, we're going to become intoxicated. Then we're going to act silly. Okay? We'll become influenced by the alcohol. So the same way, pure spirit soul became intoxicated with a material body. Why? That is the million-dollar question. Why did that happen? And in the purports to this section, Prabhupada, Sukadeva doesn't go into that. But Prabhupada knows you're going to ask that question. So Prabhupada says, I'm going to answer it for you. Here's why it happened. So originally, we were with God. One day, we all thought, what would it be like to be Krishna? As soon as that thought comes, Krishna says, oh, you want to be like me? You want to know what it's like to be me? No problem. Go to Santiago. Now you can try to be me. Now you can try to imitate me. You want to do my rasa dance? Go ahead. See how far you get. That is why it happened. We made the first move on the chessboard. We indicated to Krishna, I do not want to serve you. I want to be served. In the spiritual world, everyone serves Krishna. In the material world, everybody wants to be served. Serve me, because I'm so wonderful. I'm so great. So because, and then Prabhupada explains, misuse of free will. Some people say, well, in the spiritual world, everything's perfect. There's no Maya. True. But you still have free will in the kingdom of God. And that free will can be misused at any time. So as soon as the spirit soul desires to no longer serve Krishna, come to the material world. You want to get, who wants to get back? We sang that song. Then what do you have to do? Say it loud. And there comes your verse. Let's all do it together. Repeat. Sarva dharman parityajya. Mam ekam. Sharanam vraja. Ahang tvang. Sarva papebhyo. Mokshayishyami. Ma shucha. Please repeat. Abandon all varieties of religion. And just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. So, interesting, he says, all varieties of religion. Because actually there is only one religion. It's not Christianity, Muslimanity, Christianity, Buddhism, not even Hindu. There's only one religion, loving God. That's it. You either love God or you don't. That's the only religion. So that's why he says, abandon all varieties and just surrender. Now, you've heard me say billions of times, and the word is sharanam. Everybody say
sharanam.
There's another way to translate sharanam. Apart from surrender, the other meaning is take shelter. It has a much nicer, because surrender might, I don't want to surrender. But shelter is a much more loving term. Take shelter. Just like I came here, I took shelter of your house. Tonight when I go, I'll take shelter of Rakesh and Srinam Radha. And when I get to the airport, finally in L.A., I'll take shelter of who? That's right. She'll be there. I'll take shelter of her. She will drive me home and then she'll go to work. So I like that connotation rather than surrender. Take shelter of... And why wouldn't you want to take shelter of such a beautiful God? Smiling, nice eyes, very beautiful, and he plays a flute. God is cool, man. He plays a flute. I love the fact that Krishna, God plays a flute, right? It's like, and he has his transcendental lover, Radharani. Yes, take shelter of Krishna. Now, there is this nice verse which supplements, because you weren't there. You came in at the end when I was speaking on this yesterday. Surrender is not a one-time thing. It's ongoing. It's moment to moment. Just like when you got married, you surrendered or took shelter of Naresh, and you also took shelter of Divya. But it's every day. Just once, okay, I married you, now leave me alone. We had enough of this. No. To make the marriage work, it's constantly surrendering. Right? Does it make sense? It's a constant work. You have to constantly, conscious, work at. That's what marriage is all about. Anybody who thinks marriage is a walk in the park, just ask other married couples. It's not a walk in the park. It's hard work to make a marriage work. It's hard. You got to leave your ego at the door. Yes, I've told you the story many times. It's worth repeating. When I first got married, I was thinking, now I'm married, I will order my wife, make me samosa now. But after 2 weeks, I realized it's not like that. You don't just demand. And then the hardest thing I had to learn, my wife would constantly tell me, Prabhuji, don't do that. It's not a good idea. Oh, what do you know, stupid? Then I would do the thing. Then days after, I'd have to go back to her and say, yeah, you were right. I shouldn't have done it. And she was really cool about it, right? But this kept happening time and time. Every time I would tell her, no, I know what I'm doing. Stop it. I know. Stop bugging me. And afterwards, I would go back once again. You were right. So after 20 years of this, my wife always being right and me always being wrong, finally I said, okay, I surrender. From now on, even if I think I'm right and you tell me I'm wrong, I'm going to do what you say. And now I'm very happy. And that's why I have my first mantra. What's my first mantra? Happy wife, happy life. You like that? Yes. Yes. I learned it the hard way. So many times I'd have to come back and I was saying, damn, why is she always right? Because I have a big ego. Men, right? Hombra. We are proud. But she was always right. Okay. So, what does it mean to surrender? There is a nice Sanskrit verse. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyetiti vishvaso goptritve varanang tatha atma nikshepa karpanye shad vidha sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender, taking shelter. So here are the six divisions of surrender. Six divisions. Number one, accept things favorable to serving Krishna. If it's favorable to Krishna, you should accept it. Such as japa, akadasi, reading Bhagavad Gita, worshipping, praying, offering boga. Is the food being offered? Who's offering?
No, we lost.
You already did?
No, we lost.
Oh, you will. Okay, good. Offering your food. Dressing, Krishna. Bathing, Krishna. Working for Krishna. Talking about Krishna. That's what I do. That's why I do this. Talking about Krishna is favorable. Accept those things favorable to Krishna bhakti. Likewise, number two, reject everything unfavorable. Eating meat, eating fish, chicken, illicit sex, disco, gambling, drinking. This is unfavorable. This will not help you to Krishna bhakti. There's no, okay, the Sanskrit is shravanam kirtanam, but there's no drinkanam. No shravanam kirtanam drinkanam. No. No shravanam kirtanam sexanam. No, 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 no. No smokanam. Shravanam kirtanam smokanam. Ah, I am big devotee. No, no, no. Some things you have to reject. Now, number three, the conviction that Krishna will give protection. Like Prahlad. When Prahlad was being attacked by his father, Prahlad had conviction that Krishna would protect him. Did Krishna protect Prahlad? Yes. Number four, acceptance of Krishna as your guardian or master. Accepting Krishna as your guardian or master. Number five, full self-surrender. Favorite example, Draupadi. She's being disrobed. She's holding on. She's praying to Krishna. But then she says, what's the use? She lets go. Hey, Govinda, you saved me. What did Krishna do? More cloth, more cloth, more cloth. Piles and piles of cloth. They never saw naked Draupadi. Fully surrendered. Krishna, you protect me. And number six, humility. Being meek and humble. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now yesterday, I mentioned, so I don't know if you were there, but I'll mention again. Because now the question becomes, I've surrendered, I'm trying to surrender, but still I get pain, I get sick, things happen, bad things happen, but I surrendered to Krishna. Why are bad things still happening to me? So how does the devotee think? The devotee thinks, Krishna is testing me, and Krishna is just giving me a little of what I should have gotten. Just a little love tap. He's testing me. So in the words of Lord Brahma, when bad things happen to a devotee, the devotee, what was the last item that we just read? What was the last thing? Yes. Somebody's paying attention. Good. So the devotee, even bad things are happening, the devotee remains humble. My Lord, thank you for only giving me this. I deserve much worse, but you're so kind, you're only giving me this. Thank you. I will not leave you. I will tolerate this suffering because I know that if I go on offering you prayers and tolerating the upheavals of the material world, what will I inherit? Who remembers yesterday? What will I inherit?
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God, from where we all came from. So just go on offering prayers and service to Krishna no matter what happens. No matter what happens, stick with Krishna, because you are going back home once again. Everyone raise your hand. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So, thank you very much. Please lead us in kirtan. I have to go to the bathroom.